You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
What is up? It is a special pre-Thanksgiving Day edition of the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. I am not James Coe. Am I MG my guy, Marcus Grant?
That's kind of weird.
That's weird, right?
You're your own guy?
That's really weird, right? Anyway, I'm Marcus here alongside, of course, the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar, the magical beard of fantasy, Matt the franchise, Franciscovich, and West Virginia's finest, the wide receiver prognosticator, Matt Harmon. What's up, guys?
What up?
Hey, man.
Let's go.
You're looking good today in your big yellow Big Bird Gap sweater.
My big yellow Gap sweater, my hoodie here with my matching yellow shoes, too, to go.
When we were walking up here, I noticed that your shoes were matching your hoodie, and that is an advanced move right there.
This is great podcast.
This is a great
also
week,
yellow
this
shoes.
Is great, this is a great podcast
we're
to talk here.
Spoiling our listeners with three episodes this week.
I know, right?
We're hoping, no promises, to keep this one as brief as possible. Just hit the three Thanksgiving games for you guys. That way you can listen to this before you have to deal with relatives on Thursday or
challenge
to it on
accepted.
Wednesday.
Hey, look, it is in America. It is Thanksgiving week, which is a time to overindulge. So we are overindulging you extra fantasy takes. So, hey, let's get right to it. No headlines for this one. We're just going to get into the three games that will be played on Thursday, give you some fantasy previews. We will hit some daily dabs, which will be interesting because we just did that. But we'll hit just some dabs, and then we will get out of here. So let's start. In Detroit, Vikings and Lions, and on the field, obviously a very big game. First place in the NFC North at stake between these two teams. But fantasy-wise, the first thing that jumps out, first thing here on our rundown, Stephon Diggs did not practice on Tuesday. Now, he's going against a suspect secondary in Detroit, but Alex, it is worrisome that he's not on the field just yet.
Yeah, it would. I mean, he got shadowed by Patrick Peterson last week and got shut down. But prior to that, I believe he set back-to-back career highs in targets and had 26 catches and a couple hundred yards. So you would hope he'd be able to play because he wouldn't get shadowed fully by Darius Slay. He'd probably be able to have a good day here. But his status, we're going to have to watch extremely closely with him missing practice on Tuesday and it being a short week.
Yeah, obviously, Diggs has been kind of a frustration this year, Harmon. I mean, this is a guy that we all really liked. And he's getting plenty of targets, and I think I saw that he's, I think, third in the NFL in receptions or something like that. But yardage-wise, it hasn't worked out this year.
Well, I don't know. I think when Diggs has been healthy, like he had that groin injury earlier in the year, but when he's not been on the injury report, he's been completely dominant and has seen over, I believe, at least 28% of the team targets in every single one of the games in which he has not been listed on the injury report. So when he's been healthy, he's been cooking. I mean, he had over 160 yards against, I believe it was Washington, the week before this Arizona game. So, yeah, he would be in a great spot here, but it has been the health has been
the issue this year, and which is unfortunate, and someone else will have to step up.
Now, the other guy in the passing game that has quietly put together some decent numbers, much to the chagrin of fantasy owners, has been Adam Thielen. And franchise, I mean, how much of a sleeper is he against the Lions? Is it somebody that you can roll with maybe as a flex guy this week?
Yeah, I kind of like Thielen. I mean, especially, obviously, if Diggs doesn't play, I think Thielen will be the number one guy there. He's averaging 46 snaps per game, which is second on the team to Diggs. And he's got in the red zone, he has 50. Wait, no, that's for the season. Yeah, 50 targets.
50.
That's not his red zone stats. Hold on. I sorted
amazing.
By the wrong thing. He has 6 red zone targets for the season, which is second to Stephon Diggs, and 2 touchdowns in the red zone. The only other wide receiver who has a red zone touchdowns is Cordarrelle Patterson on the Vikings. Diggs doesn't have any in the red zone. So when they get in close, it's either Thielen or probably Kyle Rudolph that they're going to throw to.
Adam Thielen also second on the team in touchdown catches with 3 behind Kyle Rudolph.
I like Thielen a lot in this game.
Yeah.
I don't think he's gotten enough credit for how well he's played this year.
No, he's really been improving. Well, it took him a couple weeks to get going because they were still going out with the Charles Johnson experiment, and now he's just a punt gunner basically. But Thielen's had 40-plus yards, I think, in, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of his last 6 games. He's had 40 or more yards, and that's when all 3 of his touchdowns have come. So he's quietly been emerging here, and I think he's a great little flex, especially in PPR leagues.
What's his ownership?
Not much.
Not high.
Oh, wow.
But it's
very low, yeah.
The Lions allow a 73% completion rating, and the next highest team, I think we've talked about this, is 69.3%. So, I mean, they have a big gap in just how efficient they are allowing quarterbacks to be against them. So I think Thielen, I think even CP, I think those guys are both good players.
I was going to ask. I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson, anyone?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, maybe as like a value pick in, if you're playing DFS on Thanksgiving.
Oh, those are always fun.
Well, especially because he'll get – and in leagues where you get awarded points for return yards or touchdowns, Patterson's a much better option.
Yes. If Diggs is out.
Yeah.
Much better option. If Diggs is there, then it's a little, you know.
Yeah, then it's getting kind of tough. But Patterson, to his credit as well, has played well this year. I think, you know, everybody, myself included, is like, where's Laquon Treadwell? He hasn't gotten much burn at all this year. But I don't think they've necessarily gotten ineffective play out of their wide receivers for what they ask them to do.
Not at all.
Kyle Rudolph against the Lions, we're all in on that.
Yeah.
We're on board.
He's a beast. He's been averaging a ton of targets. He kind of went quiet last week because the Cardinals just shut down tight ends in general, but he's a red zone threat. The Lions.
But even with that, I mean, he had a touchdown that was called back by a penalty last week, too. So.
It's true.
The Lions, obviously, as Adam Rank refers to it, the Doyle rules. Jack Doyle scored 2 touchdowns against them in week 1, and they have allowed 9 touchdowns to the position on the year. And Rudolph scored last time they played them. So, I mean, those are trends if you like following those. But
trends, baby.
He's a big red zone, dominating red zone target in this offense, and I think he's a great start this week.
He scored against them, but he had 1 catch, yard and a touchdown.
I would be a little worried about Rudolph in general just because, you know, we know that Norv Turner always loves to use tight ends. As soon as he got out there, 2 of the last 3 games – with Pat Shurmur as offensive coordinator, he's seen 3 targets, which is, you know, much lower than any other game he's normally seeing.
Flipping to the other side of the Detroit Lions.
Are we just avoiding the backfield in general from this podcast and in fantasy?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yes, Lee. There's a backfield. They're running backs.
Yeah.
Matt Asiata, Jerick McKinnon.
I might think about Jerick McKinnon.
I kind of like Jerick McKinnon.
You wrote him up as a spot start today, Harmon. Give us your reasoning why.
Nice. Well, I think, you know, he obviously is a very talented player. We haven't seen that much this year.
Yeah.
I think really he's only had like 1 good game against Houston. But, you know, he's another player that did get injured a while ago. He missed that week 8 game against the Bears. But since then, his snap rate has gone up in every game, 38% in week 9, 49% in week 10, 53% culminating in last week. You know, he didn't have like a big game or anything, but he saw 16 carries. That's the most he's seen since week 5 in that game against the Texans. The Vikings are, you know, they want to be a run-based team. They haven't really done it behind that offensive line, but I think Detroit might give them a good opportunity to do so on Thanksgiving. This game is in Detroit, and when the Lions are playing at home, they allow a 4.4 yards per carry to running backs. as opposed to just 3.9 when they play on the road in that fast track in the dome. I think Jerick McKinnon could get going in this game.
Well, there you go.
And then get vultured by Matt Asiata.
Right. Yeah. Like he could have, you know, 17 carries for maybe 80 to 90 yards and then lose the touchdown to Asiata, of course.
Right, let's talk Lions here, Mark.
Let's talk Lions here. Okay. We'll start with Matt Stafford. I mean, look, the Viking defense, they had a slump for a few weeks where people were kind of running up and down the field on them. Do we trust that Matt Stafford can move this offense? Because he has not been particularly great the last 3 weeks or so.
No, he's struggled the last 3 weeks. But, I mean, it's also a case where I think he was missing some of his weapons, and now everybody's back. The Jacksonville game was a bizarre game where they had a pick six and a punt return touchdown, as we mentioned on Monday's podcast. But the Minnesota defense has given up 2 passing touchdowns in each of their last 3 games. So I like Stafford at home with a fully healthy Ebron, a healthier Riddick to get going. And you know, if you want to follow hashtag narrative street, the Lions have been getting up for their Thanksgiving opponents lately. They're actually riding a 3-game winning streak after going 0-9 before that.
Wow.
And I wouldn't even say that Stafford was not good against the Jags. He wasn't productive for fantasy because he didn't throw any touchdowns. But like Gelhar mentioned, a lot of that has to do with the interception return and the punt return touchdown. Like, that always just takes away from what your offense is able to do. He still threw 33 times and completed 72.7% of his passes against Jacksonville. Yeah. Just didn't score any touchdowns.
278 yards. So right. I think he's in a decent spot, especially with Riddick and Ebron being healthier, as we mentioned. I think they're great starts as well. But the wide receiver core worries me. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that franchise. I mean, Golden Tate has picked things up from a slow start of the season, but Marvin Jones is on a milk carton.
He's fallen off a cliff. The last 2 games, he has 5 and 15 yards and 1 catch each.
I'm old enough to remember when he was
that,
a thing.
That is completely falling off a cliff. I know we mentioned on Monday's pod about how, you know, he had that big 200-yard game in Week 3, and since he's combined in, I think it's 8 games?
7 games
for 268 yards.
I was just looking at this for the matchups preview for this, which you guys should be able to read on Wednesday. He's tied for 4th on the team in targets since that Week 3 game with Theo Riddick, and Riddick missed 2 games. So, like, his usage just simply isn't there. It's too up and down.
Yeah, and I was just reading before we came up here this article on Detroit Free Press that I think was published before this path before week 11, but it's talking about how Jones is he's in a slump and after a hot start, and it talks about they talked to the coach, they talked to Golden Tate, and Jim Bob Cooter was like, you know, early in the season everyone was asking us questions about why can't we get Golden Tate going, and it was more of a situation where they kind of made an effort, like, oh, defense are starting to key in on Marvin Jones, and he's taking away, like, you know, the defenders over the top, which leaves room underneath for Golden Tate, and no one was paying attention to him. And now, like, the tables have turned, and it's the other way around. So maybe it's a matter of time until this comes back around, but I don't think you can trust it yet, and especially against the Vikings.
Yeah, Xavier Rhodes has played really good football of late. Obviously, he had the interception return last week, but even before that, he was playing really well in coverage too.
And as for Tate, we talked about his mini resurgence, but I was looking at this too. I think a key to his resurgence was Ebron being out. Because interestingly enough, Tate, in games where Ebron has played, owns only about 19.2% of the targets, which makes sense. Stafford spreads it around. Like, nobody owns a huge share.
Yeah.
They're all, like, I think you put this in Slack one day, franchise, like 20, 21, 19, 18.
Yep.
But in the games where Ebron was out, the 3 games he missed, Tate owned almost 32% of the targets. So that worries me a little bit for this game against them. I would feel much better starting Ebron and Riddick than diving into anybody in this passing attack because it's just too spread out.
Yeah.
So Dwayne Washington or
nah.
I don't think so. I don't think we're there yet.
Which we should play off of that thing we talked about on Monday, Harmon, because Marcus
we should open the kimono a little bit.
Open the kimono. What we made for Starks for how much he
efficiency.
Ran.
This is true, for his lack of efficiency running
next
the football.
Stats.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, the next-gen stats metric that measures actual distance run over the rushing yard gain. And, you know, we mentioned that James Starks was probably one of the lower one or one of the higher ones, which is bad. You want to be lower because you want to be traveling less distance when you're gaining rushing yards.
Right.
Just being more efficient.
Be going north-south, not east-west.
Starks, I believe, ranked 24th on the week with 4.6, and Rob Kelly, his counterpart, was actually, you know, was really good in that game. One of the third, well, I believe the third lowest at 3.2. But then I was looking at that just to find that stat in particular, and I saw Dwayne Washington had 11 over 11. That's 11. I know. Outrageous. For listeners, like, you're hearing me being incredulous. Yeah. Like, I don't know what the hell the context of that is, Harmon. Right. We're not like you looking at this all day, but that's, I believe that is the highest I've ever seen.
It's,
I
mean, really bad. What do you have?
He ran 11 yards to gain one, essentially, is what
right.
that means.
Well, that's right. 11 yards per, like, per actual yard gain, yes, so which right. is ridiculous. Yeah, it's insane.
My response was to drop a GIF of, I think, Ralph Wiggum just running in a circle, because that's kind of what
it was.
Dwayne Washington's game.
Yeah, it was pretty great
on Sunday.
Yeah, no, stay away from him. All right.
Anything else, Vikings Lions, before we move on? Any final words?
Nope. Let's do
going
it.
Once, going twice. All right, moving on. Washington at Dallas. The eternal rivals will meet at Jerry World on Thanksgiving Day. And woo-wee! Okay. Kirk Cousins.
Woo-wee!
There it is. I only do it because I know Harmon hates
you
it.
You like that? You like that?
I got to get his How Do You Like Me Now in here, too.
I mostly just because Harmon dislikes it so much.
It's just so corny. Ugh, you weenie.
But
embrace it.
Kirk Cousins is playing really good football right now. I mean, we saw what he did on Sunday night. Earmuffs, Gelhar, what he did against the Packers on Sunday night.
The team is trash. It's fine.
Okay. It's fine. But this Dallas team is a different beast in the sense that part of its defense is its offense, and the way it is able to control the clock to just, you know, really shorten the football game.
Yeah.
That seems like, in a way, it would be better for Kirk Cousins because they're probably going to have to throw the football if Dallas is scoring. But is it better for Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, it's a good question right now. I mean, Kirk Cousins has been absolutely, you know, balling out, to be honest with you. He just carved up the Packers in the middle of the field, especially. You know, I tweeted out his next-gen stats passing chart and just all that production in the middle of the field. He had over 157 passer rating targeting in the middle of the field. Over 50% of his passes went right down the middle. And that fits with, of course, the personnel that Washington has with, you know, Jamison Crowder is a slot receiver, Jordan Reed is a tight end, and Pierre Garçon is kind of a possession receiver going over the middle as well. So it's tough to bench Cousins right now,
yeah.
But Dallas does give up the third fewest plays per game run by offenses, 60 plays per game. It's, you know, you're not necessarily counting on him pushing 40 attempts in this game necessarily.
Right. I think it's better for Kirk Cousins than it is for Rob Kelly because.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
agree with you.
Because if Dallas, they're averaging 33 minutes time of possession per game, which is number one in the league. So if they have the ball more and they're, you know, chewing up clock and scoring, that means when the Redskins do have the ball, they're going to have to be passing and not chipping away with these little 2 yard runs that Rob Kelly gets.
Well, and teams only run on Dallas. You know, I mentioned the plays per game. It's especially dramatic in the run game where Dallas only gives up 16 rushing attempts per game. The next highest team is Tennessee at 19, or next lowest team is Tennessee at 19.
Yeah.
It's insane, just that lack of possession. And again, because, as Marcus said, their offense can build a lead now at this point, so especially with the run game and the pass game. So teams, I don't know. I don't know how you pull Rob Kelly after the game he just had. Like,
yeah.
I don't think you can, especially because running back options just aren't out there, but I would be pretty shocked if he had the game that he did, or even comes close to the game he did.
I wouldn't be surprised if this turned into a high-scoring affair, though, because the Dallas defense has shown some cracks lately. They lost Claiborne and Church in the secondary. So the last 2 weeks, they've given up a 74.1 completion percentage with an average of 40.5 attempts per game. That's partially because Pittsburgh threw the ball to Lev Bell instead, and the Ravens decided to just not run in the second half. But still, that's going to help. And as we talked about in the past with Kelly, as a two down back in a high scoring, high powered offense, like if they get near the goal line, it's going to go to him. So yeah, he's not going to lead the league the week in scoring again. But I'm fine playing Kirk Cousins. The Dallas defense only has 2 sacks and no turnovers the last 2 weeks.
So the thing about Kelly that kind of concerns me this week: his yards per carry has been great the last 3 weeks with him as a starter, averaging 4.8 yards per attempt. That's fantastic. My concern is, does he get the, you know, 20 to 24 carries he's been seeing the last 3 weeks if the Cowboys are just chewing up the clock?
Right.
That's the worry. I mean, and he is a volume-dependent back. I would like a touchdown on a volume-dependent back. You know, he busted off some big runs on Sunday night, and I think that he does have the potential. He's not a like I call him a plotter or whatever, just a two-down back, but that's not who he is. Like, he does break tackles. He's good at that. He's really good at gaining yards after contact. But at the same time, I mean, yeah, it's the volume. It's a big concern here. I would, you know, he's seen 20 carries, I believe, in every game that he started for them. It would be kind of an upset if he saw 20 carries in this game.
Pass catcher-wise, what do we do? I mean, Jamison Crowder has been really great for most of the year. Pierre Garçon has quietly put up a really good season. DeSean Jackson is DeSean Jackson, where the floor is low, the ceiling is high. Jordan Reed, Vernon Davis. I mean, which of these guys do you guys feel most comfortable with?
Reed. After that, the wide receivers concerned me a little bit. Crowder, we saw his snaps drop down to 56% with D-Jax healthy. That was Crowder's lowest total since week 5. He also, while he had over 100 yards and a touchdown on Sunday night, he only saw 3 targets. So that's concerning. Whereas Garçon, I think he's got the safest floor in PPR, because he's been getting consistent catches and yardage all season long, and you hit D-Jax in the head. So that's kind of my assessment of it. I'm slightly worried about Crowder this week. I don't know if you guys feel differently, but we saw him for a little while earlier this season when his playing time dropped, just kind of disappear from the offense.
Yeah, I think that the Washington is going to be running less passing plays out of 2 tight end sets, though. Vernon Davis was on the field for 54% of snaps last week, but he was only on there for 13 passing plays as a total. So I do think that Crowder will be on the field a lot, especially if this does turn into a high-scoring affair, and Dallas can get worked over by slot receivers.
Can I tell you, maybe – am I expecting too much from Jordan Reed? Because just looking at his week-to-week numbers, very rarely have they done anything to blow me away. He has 3 touchdowns all year. 2 of them came in the same game against the Browns back in week 4. Beyond that, I mean, this is a guy who's hovering anywhere between 4 to 8 points on any given week. Maybe because the tight end position has just been so volatile this year that you know, we look to Jordan Reed to save us. But on a week-to-week basis, I guess I feel underwhelmed by him. Am I wrong? Am I weird?
I don't think you're wrong. He's not the touchdown machine he was last year, that's for sure.
Yeah, they strangely avoided him in the red zone those first 3 weeks. I remember talking on this podcast how he had like a red zone target or something like that in the first 3 weeks. That started to change, then he got injured. Then now he came back, and I think he's still in a good spot here. He leads the league in among tight ends in targets and receptions per game with like 8 point something and 6.1, I think. So his volume is there. He just hasn't gotten into the end zone yet. But tight end is a disaster, and you want to start somebody like him that's a physical mismatch and seeing a ton of targets.
That would lead me to think that at some point he's going to have a blow-up touchdown game.
Right.
And wouldn't shock me. You know, like, I hate to say like he's due, but he's due for a big TD game.
That 3 touchdown game is coming somewhere.
And it could very well be, you know, on the national stage against a division rival. It could be this game. I mean, I think he does have the targets. He does have the receptions. And I just think that it's a situation where they have, like, we're sitting here talking, like, what pass catcher is it going to be? They have a lot of options to throw to there in Washington. Kirk Cousins, why he's playing so well is he's doing a lot of what Dak Prescott is on the other side. He's picking this, you know, making the defense pick their poison.
Yeah.
Flipping to the other side, looking at the Dallas Cowboys, everything fantasy-wise pretty much has been working with this group. I know people with Dez Bryant would probably argue that, but everything has kind of been pretty good with this group. We know Dak Prescott is worth a start. Obviously, Zeke Elliott is a no-brainer start regardless of the situation. But let's talk about that wide receiver duo between Cole Beasley, Dez Bryant. Do you just set it and forget it with both of them? Do you maybe play matchups? How are you guys approaching this right now?
I think Dez is fine. There's the Josh Norman worry, but they moved him around plenty to get him off of Norman in week 2. And Dez had a 7 catch, 102-yard performance. All of that came when he wasn't on Norman. They only ran 11 plays against each other and saw 2 targets there.
Yeah, just there for context there, like they weren't shadowing him at all in the first 3 quarters. And then after Brown had ripped him up when they weren't shadowing him, and then in the 4th quarter, they're like, all right, let's stick Norman on Dez. And that definitely helped matters.
Mm-hmm. So I'll be curious to see what they do in there. I'm not going to sit Dez. As Harmon's noted in the opportunity report, his target totals have been pretty steady since coming back from injury. He just had the one catch.
He had that one catch, 19-yard game against the Browns, a game they really controlled. But other than that, he had 14 targets against Philadelphia, 9 targets against Pittsburgh, 8 targets against Baltimore, and he has 4 touchdowns in those 3 games too.
Not to jump on over franchise too much here too, but I kind of like Beasley. Randall Cobb just stung Washington for 4 for 84 out of the slot. They gave up 144 yards total to tight ends. Some of it was Jared Cook, some of it was Cobb, some of it was a little bit was Adams and Richard Rodgers. So I think especially if you're in a PPR format and this does follow the script as we think and turns into a high scoring affair, Beasley could be a solid start.
Jason Witten or nah?
I don't hate it.
No.
Nah.
I don't hate it either.
I mean, with no teams on bye this week, I think you have higher other options with more upside.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, we're sitting here saying like a lot of these guys can hit, but some of them aren't. I do think that there's a good reason. Like, Washington gives up 9.6 targets per game to tight ends. That's the highest in the NFL. It's even worse than the Browns, for God's sakes. And the Browns give it up to all the tight ends. So I don't know. I think that Witten has a shot at a good game. Some of these guys are going to bust. I mean, that's
100%.
That's the way it goes.
That's the nature of the beast.
But I do think if you have Dallas and Washington players in this game, I think pretty much everybody's got a good matchup, and I think you should try and get them in your lineup.
Cool.
All right, Washington Dallas going once, going twice. Moving on, final game of the Thanksgiving Day slate. The Steelers head to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. We will start on the Pittsburgh side. Ben Roethlisberger on the road, at least anecdotally, and I guess at some point, yeah, that, exactly. At some point statistically as well, it has not been good. I mean, last week a lot of people were kind of all in on Ben and the Steelers because Browns, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't quite work out that way. But he's on the road this week, but Colts, right? Franchise?
I think so. You're not going to sit Big Ben. It's the Colts. They gave up a bunch of yards and touchdowns to Marcus Mariota and the Titans last week, and I think it's just a matter of, you know, Ben's gonna air it out. It's what he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the Colts defense, they give up the most passing yards per game. They give up 45.5% of their drives that against their defense end in a score. Only the Packers are worse. Sorry, Gelhar.
I mean, we're the best at something.
Yeah, there you go. You're the best at allowing teams to score against you.
Nice.
I think the Colts are not a good defense. We know that. I would probably not worry about Ben in this spot. If he doesn't hit his ceiling, so be it. The one caveat, though, I would say, if I would be more worried about, you know, if Andrew Luck misses this game, and he is in the concussion protocol still, it's not looking good for him to play. If the Steelers just wax the Colts right out of the gate and this becomes a Lev Bell game, which yeah, it certainly could, that's pretty much exactly what happened against Pittsburgh last week.
Well, I mean, against Cleveland.
It was a Lev Bell game from the beginning when he had, what, right, 11 right, touches on the opening drive.
Yeah, he was the whole game plan.
Didn't he have, like, 79
game,
yards in the first quarter or something?
Something like
yeah,
that, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it was.
And if it becomes that yards, kind of game again, that's not great.
It is, but that is certainly within the range of outcomes for this week. Obviously, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, you're not worried about them. You're plugging them into the lineup. The eternal struggle with the Steelers fantasy-wise has been, who is the number two receiver? It looks like Eli Rogers is probably that guy, but we saw a little bit of Kobe Hamilton last week getting some run.
Yeah, like, here's the thing. You know, do we care? Like, do we care who the number two is? Because none of these guys play more than 70% of the snaps. Neither Rodgers or Kobe Hamilton does. And, I mean, I think one of those guys could have a big game. If I was going to chase one, I think I would probably chase Rodgers just because yeah, we've seen a little bit more out of him. But, yeah, you know, Kobe Hamilton has been out there a ton. I mean, it's not Sammy Coates anymore. I know Mike Clay tweeted out, like, he has, which is his weekly fantasy finishes, and he has that one where he finished as the number one receiver of the week against, I can't remember what team it was now,
the
against the Jets, right. But then other than that, he's been nothing, and he has played just not at all these last few weeks. So I don't know. I don't know if we care about who the Steelers' number two receiver is, but this is an exploitable matchup.
Yeah, if Luck plays and this could turn into, I mean, we're saying all these games could turn into a shootout, except the first game. But
first game probably.
Eli Rogers, I wouldn't mind Logan and him in deeper leagues, but man, if Luck is out, I'm off of everybody other than the studs on Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, let's get over, though, to the Colts and talk about that. I mean, as Harmon mentioned, Andrew Luck in concussion protocol. I mean, Frank Gore we still feel kind of okay with.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude,
he's
Frank Gore has been really – I think he's just been completely underrated
he's
this year.
He's a top 10 fantasy
back.
Yeah,
he's a top 10 back. Yeah. He's only had, like, failed to have double-digit points, what, twice?
I yeah, get that.
10 games?
He is yeah, a top 10 back, but he's also been a top 10 back when you have the threat of Andrew Luck being able to go down the field
right,
there.
Right,
now
right, right,
you're
right,
talking
right,
about Scott Tolzien, and if I'm the Steelers – I almost put 11 men in the box and just say, come get me. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
obviously that's an exaggeration, but now if you are Pittsburgh, you really are just trying to take away Frank Gore, and you're going to say, Scott Tolzien, Mr. I've only thrown one NFL pass since 2013.
Yeah.
I want you to see if you can beat me down
but
the field.
Frank Gore can't catch passes too, so it might be a little dink and dunk kind of. over the middle type of thing for Gore.
He's still an okay flex. You might be, you might not expect him to be as consistent as usual, but if the volume should be there.
Yeah. Tolzien in his career as a starter, 60.8 completion percentage and zero touchdowns and three interceptions.
Right. Like I said, he has thrown one pass since 2013. The good news is he completed it. The bad news is it was for 4 yards.
Right.
So.
The only touchdown he's thrown was against Philadelphia, I think, when he came in as a relief player in that game.
So let me ask you guys. Luck's out. Tolzien's in. Are you playing Hilton? Are you playing Moncrief?
Yes.
Yes.
I might be able to stomach putting T.Y. Hilton in there, but I wouldn't feel good.
I would feel better about Moncrief almost because he's been a dominant red zone threat for them with his size there.
Touchdown in every game since his return.
I mean, that's if you have faith that Scott Tolzien could get them to the red zone.
Yeah.
So what if this isn't – by the way, for anybody looking – for all you listening, like, there is a collective holding of the temples going on here.
Yeah. Everybody's like, just Tolzien's hurting our brain.
Well, but no, what's hurting my brain is that I'm actually thinking that this could be, like, what if this is not a disaster for Scott Tolzien? What if he plays kind of well?
Don't.
Yes. No. Listen.
No.
Do it.
I mean, in the one game that he did, like, play extensively in 2013 against the Giants, he did throw three interceptions. That's true. Whatever.
Look.
Like, he's going to turn the ball over, probably make some ugly mistakes. But he completed 70% of his pass. He threw for over 300 yards. I think there's he can feed these two guys.
I think the big thing here is the Colts' offensive line is horrible. We saw the Steelers get pressure on Cody Kessler the entire game last week. They're just going to send everybody and scare Tolzien and just put him on the floor.
But the Steelers haven't put a lot of pressure against anybody all year, really. I mean, they've been a poor pass rushing team. They are missing Cam Hayward.
That did not affect them.
Yeah, but the Browns are like starting you and Marcus at the offensive line. You know, I mean,
Colts allowing more sacks than any other team.
I know it's not
like that.
It's also partially luck.
Yeah, that's a lot of luck holding onto the ball. Like, just looking
back. Tolzien's going to need a lot of luck.
Nice, Dad. Just looking back at that game, too, Jordy Nelson, 117 yards. Jared Boykin, geez. 91 yards. James Jones, 55
yards.
That
was when Jordy Nelson wasn't washed.
Right, but my point is, like, Moncrief
aren't washed.
Yeah,
how dare those
guys could.
Tolzien is.
Those guys could get the ball from. I don't know. I'm not worried. Maybe I look like a complete dumb something when I come on the podcast on Friday. And, like, Scott Tolzien threw up all over his shoes and he had 120 yards, but yes. I think he's going to throw for some yards and it's going to, like, that's the appeal of this offense is that it's mostly just these two guys. They pretty much just demoted Jack Doyle behind Dwayne Allen, and Dwayne Allen was terrible as a result.
Yep.
Because he's just not, I think we can just forget that we ever thought
even
he
Marcus
was good.
Grant,
I know, man.
I was
driving that bandwagon. I'm out. I'm out now.
But, like, I think the Colts offense is pretty much just, you know, Hilton and Moncrief are going to get over 50% of the targets. Frank Gore is going to get some dump offs, and that's it. I think Tolzien can do that.
You know, I'm talking to myself in this now too, because if
oh
we look
my
back,
god, what?
What if
it's Tolzien, a short week?
What if I know it's a short week. What if he has to throw the ball 50 times because they're chasing the Steelers
all
game?
He's going to throw it out of bounds 50 times.
I mean,
but like we say that.
Sure, he can. He could, you know, maybe put something together. I mean, or he could give us a Brock Osweiler.
It's true.
You know, 99-yard game.
Throw it into the defensive lineman's hands.
It's true.
The hell with it. I mean, I've got Moncrief in a couple leagues. I'm starting him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not panicking on those guys.
Be careful.
This is a moment when I feel good that I don't have any Colts on any of my rosters, so I don't have this decision.
Coats?
I got some Colts, man, and I mean, I don't know if I don't have the stones to play Scott Tolzien because it's a full week.
Why would you ever play Scott Tolzien?
You know, I
we're
don't
talking
know.
No.
I don't know. I've got a two or super flex dynasty league and I might play him.
Man,
just for fun.
Pick him up in Scott Fishbowl.
I don't even know.
You guys are crazy.
I don't even know.
Listen, I got to be honest. This whole podcast has been, you know, pretty straightforward. Yeah, we played. We got to throw some stuff out there for these.
Right. Ooh,
man. All right.
Fine. Go for it.
Steelers Colts going once. Steelers Colts going twice. Daily Dobson, let's go.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the Daily
Dobson Hook. Give me daps, cause I be scribbling rap.
Give me dabbing up, daps abound, daps.
All right, Daily Dap time. I was at least a little bit surprised. Like, hey, we just did this on Monday, and now it's not Monday, and we're going to do this again. But let's go around the horn. Alex,
start with me. I'm still collecting mine.
Okay, let's not. Franchise.
I don't have any either.
Okay.
Just kidding. Okay. Just kidding. This isn't really a Daily Daps. It's more of a, I don't know. I was on the DDFP yesterday.
You got to get some stuff off the chest.
I got to get some stuff off my chest, okay, guys? So this is what it's going to be.
Do it, please.
Damashek was nice enough to have me on, and he did his annual Thanksgiving food draft, right? So we went around the table, and we each picked we did three rounds. My first pick was stuffing. You know, I was like, I'm going to be boring here and go stuffing. And everyone was like, good job, Franchise. Like, that's a strong pick, whatever. And I was like, this is too boring. No one wants to listen to people pick stuffing. So then my next pick, we went around. Some things went off the table. And I went with roasted carrots because I enjoy roasted carrots.
Wait, was that your first round pick?
Second round pick was stuffing.
Gotcha.
Went around a couple other key vanilla boring food items came off the board. I was on a website looking at dishes, and I was like, ooh, roasted carrots, a huge vat of them. That looks great. You know, they're in oil. They got some seasoning on them. I love me a carrot. They're sweet. They're soft. They're warm. And I said that, and I got ridiculed for it.
You got roasted for your roasted carrots?
I got completely roasted, and then the rest of the show, they were like, oh, you and your baked carrots. And I had to be like, roasted, like 30 times, roasted carrots.
Yeah,
you got
roasted.
If you're listening to this, you've probably tuned out already, but I like roasted carrots, and I'm going to stand by my pick, and that's it. So all of you haters out there, get off my lawn.
Sheesh.
Actually,
I love it.
As a second round pick, I think roasted carrots are okay.
Thank you, Marcus.
Like, I don't think it's ridiculous. The stuffed peppers, that was where you
I was
you,
that was a reach.
That's a
that was the round kind of, third kind of, round. Most of the meats were off the board already.
Kind of a contrarian play there.
Right.
I mean
Cole Wright said crawfish.
Yeah, I don't know. Like that is you're right. You've said this off the air and I agree with you. It's a little weird that you're getting flamed for roasted carrots.
Yeah, classic side dish.
Because like if I went to a Thanksgiving table and I saw, like, oh, these are all of the dishes that are here. There's, I see, you know, turkey, stuffing. Okay, roasted carrots. All right, it's a little different, but that's fine. But crawfish, what the hell is that doing?
Crawfish is kicker in the fifth round crazy. No offense, yeah. Adam Rank.
Woo.
All right, I got mine now. I'll get back to it.
Go for it.
Cool.
Daily Daps to the repo man in Illinois who had to pick up the car. No, I retweeted this story yesterday because I was like, if anybody needs a little, like, shining light in their life or a sign of hope.
We all do.
There was a repo man in Illinois who had to take the car. It was a 1998 Buick from an elderly couple. They were 82 and 70 years old. So he had to take their car, and he felt so bad. He didn't want to do it because they couldn't make their payments. He set up a GoFundMe that night, got more than was necessary to finish paying off their car, put the rest of the money in an envelope, and towed their car back to them with the money in the envelope and a turkey for Thanksgiving. So Daily Dabs to that guy. Where's his name here? Jim Ford of Belleville, Illinois. So
Ford, ironic. Was it a Ford? What
no, it was a Buick.
Right.
Oh, my God.
But so Daily Dabs to that
said
guy.
That in the story.
It's a good story. I tweeted about it yesterday if you want to check it out. So
that's heartwarming.
Yes. Harmon, what do you got?
What do you got,
Harmon? Back down.
I see you scrolling through your phone. You trying to find a...
No, it's funny, like, because I remember thinking the other night, like, you know, I'm actually prepared for this one. Like, we're having an extra episode, and I remember now I've forgotten what it was.
Good job.
But, you know, I'm going to extend a Daily Dap to Marcus Grant, I've lost my train of thought now.
What did I
do? Oh, the cup and the shirt. The no one cares what your fantasy team cup and shirt.
Yes.
The mug is a hit. I took it to the 9:30 meeting today, and it was a big hit amongst the people.
Nice.
I am planning to debut the "No One Cares About Your Fantasy Team" shirt on Fantasy and Friends at some point.
Nice.
Maybe
cool.
Tomorrow.
I might smash your mug.
It has.
The best part about the mug is that whenever Franchise talks about one of his teams, I just clink it up on the divide between our desks, and he's like, I'm going to smash that.
I know. I'm pretty sure that one day I'm going to come into the office and there's going to be like a broken mug just scattered about the stronghold.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
Potentially.
My Daily Dap, because here we are just before Thanksgiving, goes out to everybody who listens to us.
Aw.
I mean, seriously. I mean, like, you know, and I know every now and then we like to thank you guys because you obviously are the reason that we're able to do this so much, but It's been a weird year in a lot of ways. It's been kind of a different year, at least for me. I mean, I think we have expanded what we do in a lot of ways here. I think we've done some different things. I know that I've tried to do some different things in terms of kind of reaching out to people and that. And for the most part, everything I think that we've done, everything that I've done has been very well received. And I am certainly grateful for that. So I'm thankful for everybody out there who listens to this podcast, who reads what we write, who watches the shows, who follows along with us on various social media platforms, because otherwise we'd be talking to ourselves. Actually, we would probably be unemployed, is what would happen.
That's true.
And we'd be sitting around on our couch with no pants on, just screaming into the wind.
That doesn't sound so bad,
Friday.
Now that you...
I should say it like that. So thanks to everybody out there who listens, and honestly, thanks to, I'd say, the three of you guys sitting in here right now, and James Coe as well, because you guys are a big part of the reason I come to work every day. Because, you know, like, we keep each other sane. We make it very entertaining. And, you know, I feel like that translates into our work. And, that's
yeah. So, you guys, all of you that listen, and especially the people in this room, you guys kick ass. So
there we go.
So that'll do it for us. For Alex Kelhar, for Matt Franciscovich, for Matt Harmon, and for James Coe in absentia, I am Marcus Grant. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
See you later.
Oh, you're doing that thing again. Fun. 5, 4. He did the I didn't come with stats thing, and I was like, oh, we're going back to that bit again.
Well, listen, if there's one thing about the NFL Fantasy Stronghold, it's that a bit shall never die.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.